Welcome to the Akashic Reading Podcast, presented by AkashicReading.com, the place where you can learn to access your soul's wisdom, or at least stop digging the hole any deeper. I'm your host, Terry Uktena, and today we'll be talking about how one of the best things you can do for yourself in a relationship is recognize when it should end. One of the more common questions I get concerning relationships is, what am I meant to learn from this? It's a good question, and one I encourage because, whether we are meant to or not, relationship experiences give us the opportunity to learn deeply about ourselves, about others, and about the world we live in. Relationships, positive, negative, or neutral, are a concentrated way to foster wisdom in each of us, as almost every great story, fictional and historical, will attest. Sometimes the relationship is meant to be a mirror, a way to see one or more of our issues and to work on them. Other times, a relationship is about our fulfilling a role, putting into practice things we have already learned and allowing them to manifest through our actions and their influence on others. What can sometimes come as a surprise is when I look at a current relationship only to find that all the lessons have been learned. Everything in the contract between the couple has been accomplished, and there is nothing left to do. In this situation, I'll ask some additional questions of my client, which prompt them into relating in detail what I'm already seeing in the contract. Most often, they're no longer satisfied in the relationship because their needs aren't getting met. They know the other person is not going to change or miraculously come to some state of enlightenment about the situation. There's been no lack of clarity or communication concerning all aspects. In the end, what they have as a relationship now is all there is. The client then refines their question to be, what am I meant to learn by staying in the relationship? The answer to which is nothing. This reveals an underlying truth they usually haven't considered. There is nothing further to learn. They aren't being held in the relationship. They are completely free to leave it at any point. Their job is done. Like someone staring at a window with bars wishing to be free, they have never thought to turn around and see they are in a room with an open door. They can walk out at any time. People focus almost exclusively on the beginnings of things and relegate endings to negative events which are forced upon us. We don't focus on what the wrapper will look like once we have eaten the food except as a negative consequence which we need to deal with, i.e. recycle, don't litter, and empty your pockets. We don't think of the ending of cars. We think of this as a part of getting a new one, such as a trade-in, or as a means to get money for something else, which we call selling, or as a thorough negative, which we call totaled. In the same way, we don't focus on the endings of relationships. We focus on the beginning, on the becoming, on them succeeding, or being right, or the one. Relationships don't end, they fail, or they are to be escaped, or they just stop and there's no closure. We say out loud, we will just never know what happened, as if we didn't experience the events unfolding in real time. Because we don't honor endings, because we don't focus on them or recognize them as healthy and appropriate, because we see them as thieves taking something from us or an escape hatch which allows us freedom from the evil bad, we don't learn how to manifest them. We don't see them as part of the process. We don't hold them in our mind as an option and definitely don't allow ourselves the grace to become fluent in them. Think what it would be like if a dancer never ended a motion once they started it. They wouldn't be dancers. They'd be statues forever frozen in a movement with no end, or They would be the most boring dancer ever, doing one movement over and over again in a circuit which would become a bit hellish. What if road trips never ended? I believe there's movies which hint at what those experiences would be, both comedy and horror. Some people even experience this in their nightmares. Never arriving at a destination, never being able to move on to the next goal, the next adventure, the next meeting, is an aspect of having no endings. Everything which starts must have an end. This is the nature of embodied life and linear time. Things which grow without end are unhealthy or even deadly. This is one of the defining aspects of cancer. Cells which continue to grow when they should have stopped. I'm reminded of something a trainer once told me at the gym. I was being asked to jump up onto a platform repeatedly, and in my usual style, I was focusing on my strength to get me into the air, my attention to aim myself appropriately for landing, and gravity to take care of the rest. Hence, I was landing with large thumps, both going up and coming back down. After a bit, the trainer stopped me and suggested something that caused me to laugh at the absurdity. He said, "Now, do it like a ninja." In the face of my laughter, he didn't encourage, he just waited patiently while I got it out of my system. So, I tried, with a smug knowingness that the proposition was absurd. And yet, remarkably, things changed. You see, ninjas are known for silence, stealth, and amazing attention to detail. So in trying to be like a ninja, I added attention to all the details in the process, including the landing. And it became quiet and gentle, with a subtle, very subtle, amount of grace. Such a simple thing, yet the entire process changed, and my experience of myself changed as well. Absurd, and yet such a simple thing. I knew this once in childhood, but somewhere along the way, I lost track of it. Or I let go of it to attend to other things. In putting my attention back on the ending, I learned how to be graceful and intentional in the entirety of the process. I regained a part of myself. This is just one example of why it behooves us to learn about, become familiar with, and even fluent with endings, and how to end things, including relationships. The place to start is when to know things should end. One of the most common complaints I hear from people is they wish they had acted sooner. Looking back, they spent way too much time with this person when they knew it was a lost cause. It wouldn't work out, the other person wasn't going to end things, and it would be up to them. They can explain in detail why they didn't act, why it made sense at the time, and why it all makes sense in the big scheme of things, but this doesn't alleviate the regret. Most people know when things should end. That isn't the issue. We as human beings are problem-solving experts. We do it every day, from negotiating traffic and commutes to figuring out complex budgets, time priority management, as well as social and family obligations, and that's just on any given Tuesday. We don't have difficulty with knowing when things should end. What we struggle with is the actual ending. When it comes to relationships, we're like ivy. Our purpose is to grow, expand, and become, yet we remain ourselves. To do so, we connect with a structure. We climb it, encompass it, penetrate it, and allow it to inform the directions we will go and the limits we will accept. So when the time comes for a relationship to end, it's not only the structure of our lives which will change, but who we are. We aren't necessarily resistant to change in general, but we prefer the positive change where we're putting structure in place, such as weddings, births, birthdays, and holidays. We resist when it is time to remove a structure, unless we have another structure ready to replace it. This is one reason why some people move from one relationship to another without pause. To have the part of their identity which is defined by relationship not be present is too uncomfortable or frightening to contemplate. Others wait for circumstances to force them into the ending. When everything else has been tried, when every resource has been utilized, when finally their body can no longer sustain the relationship any longer, then ending is not their choice, but becomes like gravity, something they can't fight. They are released from the old identity which long ago died. They will have already acquired a new one, which is usually called survivor. The most egregious, although unfortunately fairly common, means of ending avoidance is to force the other person into doing the ending. I have watched partners behave so badly, push every button, sustaining purposeful problem behavior over months or years, all the while denying that they're doing it, twisting the facts, refusing to communicate or participate in the relationship, all to achieve the goal of having the ending be done for them. While seemingly effort-intensive and weirdly strenuous, most often it's done so they don't have to undertake any of the efforts required in the ending process. In one instance, someone I knew finally ended everything after years of neglect and a year of escalating arguments and negative emotional and financial interactions, only to realize, in achieving her freedom, getting a new apartment, moving, separating the bills and the finances, and dividing their physical items, that she had done all the hard work, spent all of her money, and her boyfriend, ex-boyfriend at that point, had lifted not a finger while getting to keep almost everything. He had a new partner installed in the old apartment within days, so his efforts had been rewarded after all. Being as fluent in endings as beginnings allows us to be more flexible in our lives. It gives us the grace of the dancer and the skills of the ninja to change when it is time to change. Knowing endings naturally occur, we can bend like ivy. We're able to recognize what we have connected with can no longer support us. We will always remain ourselves, but what we connect with will change. While each structure informs and molds us, though it is no longer there, the wisdom we have developed because of it remains. Instead of avoiding change or ignoring the messages of our soul which tell us it's time to end things so we may continue our becoming, we can use our problem-solving skills to make the process positive and beneficial for all. Parents often struggle with the knowledge things must change in their relationships because children are involved. This isn't just a matter of small children either. I've known parents of adult children who struggle with the thought of ending things because they feared their children's opinion. While the issue becomes more complicated the more people are involved, there are two factors which can help give the choices more clarity. One is that children are not oblivious to the health or lack thereof in their parents' relationship. While they may not be able to vocalize what they know to be true, they know far more than we usually credit. Also, they often will choose the health and happiness of their parents over a quote-unquote stable home, which is negative, full of coping, and unhappy people. Two, children learn not by what we tell them for the most part, but what we show them. They watch and experience their parents as the prime example of how to be in the world. If parents want their children to live happy and fulfilled lives, it behooves them to show how this is done by example. If we model for them unhappiness, misery, self-sacrifice, and negative self-image in relationships, this is what they will learn and struggle with throughout their lives. If we want them to be graceful, both at reaching for what they want and ending what no longer serves, then we need to demonstrate it in our own actions and choices. It takes two to have a relationship, and so we don't have complete control over how graceful the ending may be. However, we do have control of our part in the relationship and how graceful we are in exiting from it. One of the blessings we have to bestow others in our life is to show them as much love at the ending of things as we did at the beginning. It doesn't require forgiveness, nor does it require sacrifice any more than it did to join together. What it does require is our full attention. To be fully present when we release our connection, as we were when we extended ourselves in the first moment of contact. If we can achieve that, then we will have the closure we seek and truly be free to extend ourselves into new possibilities. And that's all the time we have this week. Next week, we'll be comparing what it means to be embodied as an educational experience versus being a mature soul in service. If you're interested in knowing more, check out my website, akashicreading.com. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please take a minute to rate it 5 stars on iTunes. Your comments are also appreciated. Thanks. Bye.